Website 1700thechamp.com. Our next this segment will be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance, founded in the Midwest in 2011. Provide quality, health-centric building maintenance. They believe the cleaning industry should provide the first line of defense in proper health care. Always looking for the right process to provide the highest quality, safest, and most healthy environment for your tenants, employees, your buildings in general. They're certified partners in science-proven microbial control, the state-of-the-art protection to keep their environments safety and more healthy for your occupants. It's not easy, right? We do a great job of sometimes complaining about cleaning companies and janitorial staff from schools to everywhere until you put some shoes on and walk in their steps and see what it's like. Better take that a couple half steps back, because it's not an easy job. It's not an easy job to find people. And it's a very important job, especially where we are in this country now. Who would have thought, 5 years ago, just how important it is that your environment is safe, and the fact that people feel safe to come into your environment and do their jobs. It used to be not even a flick in our mind, and it is now. So take advantage. Heritage Building Maintenance. Appreciate having them being a part of the show. Where we got here again? I wanted to go through these one more time here. And we have 3A and 4A games. They are subsections, sectional sections. There's another term for them, but these are games to qualify for state. Let's do 3A first. Assumption is at Marion. Western Dubuque is at Clear Creek Amana. Grinnell is at Pella. What a game that one's going to be. Lewis Central is at Glenwood. Sergeant Bluff is at Spencer. And Webster City is at Winterset. West Delaware is at Central DeWitt. And Xavier is at Independence. 4A, Waukee versus Southeast Polk. Urbandale versus Indianola. Cedar Rapids Prairie, Cedar Rapids Kennedy, Pleasant Valley, Iowa City Liberty, Waukee Northwest, Valley, Iowa City High, Bentendorf, Johnston, Ankeny Centennial, Dowling Catholic, Linmar, Marion. So, good luck to everybody. Enjoy. 4A is in Iowa City at Hawkeye Stadium, and 3A is in Carroll. Really cool stadium there, too. Two great locations. And it's going to be this way for a while, folks. The principal park days, we have Randy Wehofer in here a lot. He is VP of Operations and Assistant General Manager. The way that AAA is now, you have six on, six off. I mean, there's no way that you're going to be able to schedule having games down there. As much fun as it was, it's just the way the world goes, man. That is something that they enjoy doing, but it's not part of their business plan and how they have to adhere to the rules and regulations of minor league baseball and major league baseball. With that being said, you got games this weekend. And then the All-Star, you get a little All-Star break. All-Star game is, I do believe, on Tuesday. I'm a huge All-Star guy. I like watching All-Star games. They meant a lot more before. So we made this analogy yesterday with golf, that one of the reasons that Tiger is so good is he did not want to lose at anything. He played cards hard. He played darts hard. He played everything to win, and that was his mentality. Back in the day, Now, I'm old, right? So I was watching All-Star games back, or listening to them at least, in 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, all the way up through. There were a lot of baseball players that All-Star game meant something, because the American League teams didn't play the National League teams until they got to the World Series. So they didn't like each other, and they didn't hang out with each other, and they played hard against each other, and they played real baseball against each other. That means if you brushed one back, they'd brush you back. If you hit one, they'd hit you. It's not that way anymore. It's a different connotation. You play at least a couple of games against each other during the year, so it's not the same. So you're getting ready to go in to the All-Star break. You still have a couple of, you know, and baseball can change in a heartbeat. You have an injury, you have something like that. Right now, the Yankees are up 14 games in the American League East. The Twins are up 4. The Astros are up 12 in the National League. The Mets are up 2.5 over the Braves. That's been going back and forth this week. They've been jumping each other. The Milwaukee Brewers and Cardinals. The Milwaukee Brewers coming on. Nobody's really playing well right now, but they've kind of hit their stride. They're 1.5 up over the Cardinals. Pirates in third. Crazy stuff. The Dodgers are 7.5 games up over the Padres. So you still have some close things. Like I said, baseball nowadays is you're an injury away from, maybe going through some times. The thing that I like the most about this, and I talked to Randy about it, the Baltimore Orioles are 44-44. The Baltimore Orioles probably haven't won 44 games in the last 3 years. That is awesome. The Tigers and the Royals they're one's 15 and one's 18 games under 500, but they still won 37 games. The Athletics have only won 30 games, and I'm going to get to them in just a second. The Washington Nationals as well, and they are struggling. You know, they're trying to find their way. And they're trying to fight payroll, and they have a lot of interesting things. And they have Juan Soto, who might be he's young, one. Two, he's one of the top 5 to 10 players in the league. And what are they going to do? How are they going to keep him? How are they going to pay him? I don't think that is something that they actually realize right now. The Cincinnati Reds and the Cubs both have won 33 and 34. The Rockies and the Diamondbacks are both at 40. That's not horrific by any means. It's been an interesting year for baseball, and they're still going through a little bit of identity crisis. They have exciting players, but you don't get to see them every minute of every, game like you do in basketball and football. There's nothing better than sitting and watching the, see, if you're going to watch baseball because you want to see a person or you want to see excitement all the time, well, that's not the reason to go watch baseball. I watch baseball to see how they pitch to people, how they line up in the field, how, you know, hit and run. I like all the old things about baseball. So baseball's biggest problem is what everybody says. How do you get the video game that all these kids like and put that on the real field? And how do you make it easier to bet? It is not an easy sport to gamble on. It is difficult. You have days that you think you have sure bets when you have a great pitcher or a horrific pitcher going that you can manipulate how you attack your bet. It doesn't work. It does not work. Hate that part. So I struggle with that. I struggle with that a lot. I got a couple of music things I wanted to take care of here. Yesterday I talked about this a little bit, and I talked to my wife last night, and she's not a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. I don't think my boys are huge Bruce Springsteen fans either. I don't think they got it. I'm not. If I had to sit down and I had CDs to pick, there would be 100 different things I would go in a direction. if you told me I could go to a live concert, that drops down substantially, because I've seen him and I know how good he is in concert. Even if I don't like and all that, it's just the ambiance, and it's what he does. It's mesmerizing what he can do. The other is today, social media was kind of going after, Sammy Hagar today. Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth. One of the tough things that you have about ever having like a reunion tour where Michael Anthony. So the way this breaks down right now is that Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony, the bass player, have kind of gone on their own way, and Alex Van Halen is just Alex Van Halen, and the passing of Eddie Van Halen really hurt. And you have Wolfgang, who I really enjoy watching him play music. The rift here is Sammy Hagar does not think that David Lee Roth gives how I say it Van Hagar enough credit. Sammy's not. He is way outspoken about the fact that he thinks that their music that they did was better than what David Lee Roth did. And it hampers this, you know, getting together and doing a couple of concerts out there, because the two guys just can't get along. And that's not the first time, right? This isn't a, I can't get along with Sammy thing, so that's why Van Halen vanished. It was Eddie was getting sick, and you had some people in Van Halen that just needed some time away. I, for one, have seen both in concert. Original, two or three times. I think it's three times. Sammy's side of it, two times. Sammy's on his own, once. Sammy with group that he has now, once. I'm a Sammy guy, not a David Lee Roth guy. Never was a David Lee Roth guy. I thought, well, you know, you have Eddie, and I love, you know, all the rest stuff. And, oh, yeah, you got to put up with Dave. And then I like Sammy stuff. And I like, here's a really funny thing. I like Sammy Hagar in Van Halen way more than I like Sammy Hagar by himself. Except for now, I like him more just because of other things that he does. You know, he's... He, you know, Waba, Waba, Cabo, Cabo, Waba, whatever, and the restaurants and the cooking and the tequila and all of that. He's just an interesting dude. Watching shows with him and Guy Fieri on together is hilarious. I mean, it's just a lot of fun. He's at a point in his life that I wish I was in a point in my life that you can just do whatever you want to do. And that's how he goes about his life. He jams when they want to jam. They play live when they want to play live and do that. He would really like to go out and play with those guys again. But I don't think it's going to happen, because I don't think David Lee Roth will let it happen. So that's too bad. One of the things that I did not talk about yesterday, and this is a sad, right? This is a sad story. It's a story of Henry Ruggs, a up-and-coming football player for the Las Vegas Raiders. For some odd reason, in one night, decided that driving 150 miles an hour down the Vegas Strip was a great idea late at night after doing whatever. I don't think that they've ever came out with blood alcohol or any of that. He took a life, and I think this family wants to put this to rest, and I think this family wants to have closure, and Henry Ruggs isn't allowing it, because he's the only thing that I can think of, and I hate saying this about people, and especially people that I don't know, I just don't think he cares. I think he thought he was that entitled because he was a wide receiver in the National Football League for the Las Vegas Raiders that he could do whatever he wanted. And you can't. He's Henry Ruggs. It's not Jerry Rice. It's Henry Ruggs. 150 miles an hour through town. I have a hard time not getting trampled by people walking, let alone having people driving like that. And you don't expect that as somebody that is driving on the streets of Las Vegas, that something can happen like that. They want to know what in the world he was thinking to see if that helps with closure. I don't blame them, but I don't think they're going to get anywhere. And it just seems like it's been so long ago and there still hasn't been anything done. It used to be that when certain things happened, that one of the things, one of the pillars that we had in this country was justice was fast and fair. With a hope of forgiveness, right? You made a wrong, you did what you had to do, and then you look for forgiveness. No, I don't know if any of those steps happen anymore. We are not a very good forgiving country. We're by far not a very good country of taking responsibility for oneself. So that's why things like this happen. 150 miles an hour. Who has a car in Las Vegas where you have nowhere to drive that drives 150 miles an hour? I don't understand. I'm pretty excited. B-Style's coming back in here. It's been a little bit. That's probably my fault because of the crazy schedules that we have. But I can't wait to talk to him. You're listening to Steen on Sports. B-Styles and I, be right back.
Here for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Wednesday. Drive safely, little backup. Heading out by 141. Kind of be safe out there. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter for at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, Facebook at 1700 The Champ. Website is 1700thechamp.com. This next segment is brought to you by the iCubs. Monte Morris is down there tonight signing autographs. I think the jerseys, basketballs, something. Can't remember what Randy said. I apologize for that, Randy. Who do we have? Thor and Spider-Man down there on Thursday. All kinds of stuff going on as usual down at iCubs Stadium. My next guest is Brendan Styles. He is at the B Styles on Twitter. B, how you doing, brother? It's been a while. Thank you for coming on today.
Absolutely. It has been a while. I think the last time I talked to you, the Big Ten was still at 14 schools.
Yes. Like what a crazy time we live in, and what a crazy time it's going to be. I have to start, though. You got the Twins and White Sox, four games. Those are huge games.
I'm going to two of them this weekend. I feel like the White Sox, if their season isn't over, it's getting pretty close. And Minnesota has a chance to lay the knockout punch to them and basically make it a two-team race between them and Cleveland, if it isn't one already. I will say this, though. At least they're not the laughing stock in the AL Central at the moment. I think that title belongs to the Kansas City Royals after that news today. I don't know if you saw, but they're going to Toronto this week, and apparently 10 of their players will not be allowed to make the trip because they're unvaccinated.
Right, and it's like I agree with you. It was like the Royals management didn't know. I don't understand.
Well, you know, the whole thing aside, usually you only hear about like maybe two or three guys. I think even like the Phillies are there right now, and I think they only have one player that wasn't. But the fact that you have 10, I mean, you think about all the guys at AAA and maybe even AA that they're going to have to call up just for this weekend. That's tough. But I guess going back to what you were saying, too, it should be a good series up here this weekend. But like I said, the White Sox, they're running out of time. If they don't get they fortunately got a split in Cleveland last night at a doubleheader. If they can get another one tonight, that would be ideal. before they come out here. But yeah, it's getting to the point where they might have to start consider selling. And I don't know, maybe do you trade a guy like Lucas Giolito and try to get as many prospects as you can for him? Because I feel like he would be the hot commodity, if you will, if they were going to be sellers.
Any chance that if, let's just say the worst case scenario, they go 0-4, any chance they go, you know what, Tony, we can't do this. Thanks, man. You can, we'll move you up into the front office. We got to do something else.
I've been wanting them to let go of him since at least yesterday. But honestly, I don't think Jerry Reinsdorf's going to do that. I think he's going to see this thing out. And it's crazy when you consider that there's been all these teams that have made managerial changes in season just this year. Hell, Toronto just did it today.
46-42.
They just fired their manager today.
Yeah, they're 4 games above 500 and in the playoffs right now.
Right. And it's one of those things where it's like, if you're the White Sox, yeah, you could do that if you wanted to, but apparently that, just knowing Reinsdorf, he's not the kind of guy that I see doing that in the middle of a season. And even then, like, I don't know who would want to manage that team right now, just based off of what they've seen, because they had their issues really all season. It's not like it's been something that just recently they've been in a funk. They've been in this funk literally since opening day, when they found a way to lose that game to the Tigers. And it seems like they haven't really recovered from that. So I don't know. It's really disappointing to see when you consider they made the playoffs 2 years in a row. They won the division last year. They looked good. They looked like they were in a position where they could have a roster that would be formidable for at least, you know, at least the next 3 years or so. But they found a way to disappoint and allow teams like Minnesota and Cleveland to drastically improve with what they got.
Jerry Reinsdorf will get rid of Phil Jackson, make Michael Jordan mad, but won't get rid of Tony La Russa.
Yeah, and after all the money they just gave Zach LaVine, I highly doubt there's going to be any interest in a KD trade, even though it's feasible.
Right.
Like, if the Bulls wanted to make a move with Brooklyn, they easily could. You know, they could find a way to maybe only give up, like, 3 or 4 players and a couple of draft picks. But I don't know if it's something where Kevin Durant wouldn't want to come to Chicago, or if it's just something where they're just, I think it's more that they just wouldn't be interested in doing it, because I feel like he's the kind of owner where it's like, okay, we gave LaVine all this money. We have him. We have DeMar. Try and win with this. And it's just like, we saw what happened. They're not the way they're currently constructed. They've made some decent moves, like getting Goran Dragic, Andre Drummond, but I don't look at them right now and think, boy, they're going to win in the playoffs come next spring.
And they got to stay healthy. I mean, that's the toughest
thing. Yeah, that's the other thing.
that's where you stick. So one of the things that's out there today, and I get that it's crazy, but Golden State has a package and draft picks that they could trade. Would the NBA flip upside down on its head if Kevin Durant went back to Golden State?
Yes, but I don't think he would do it.
Yeah, I don't think he's got the psyche to do it.
But you know what I find interesting, though, is the fact that the two teams that he supposedly had at the top of his wish list were Phoenix, who had the 1 seed in the West, and Miami, who was the 1 seed in the East. So clearly, like, that part of it maybe gives some credence to the possibility that Golden State could be in the discussion. But
he has Draymond talking nice about him, man. Come on.
Oh, I know. Well, apparently Steph was making comments recently too. But I get the feeling that this could be something that carries into the season. But the problem, if you're Brooklyn, is if you do that, then you're still not going to get quite the value that you want. And to be fair, I think part of that hinges from the trade that Minnesota did with Utah.
It messed up the whole thing. Everything.
It absolutely did, because it's like that one trade basically said, well, geez, if Rudy Gobert is worth that much, that many players, and that many draft picks for him, then what's Donovan Mitchell worth, let alone Kevin Durant? So, yeah, I think it just, that one trade just made it more difficult, not only for Kevin Durant to get traded, but I think for other trades to go down that you might be looking at as things that you could see happening, whether it be somebody like a Donovan Mitchell, a Kevin Durant, a Kyrie Irving, or whoever.
And I think it was a bad trade for the NBA. I don't think it was a bad trade for the Minnesota Timberwolves because they don't have anybody that plays defense. I mean, at least he's going to make Karl-Anthony Towns better because Karl-Anthony Towns doesn't know how to play defense. Rudy Gobert does.
They might be around better. Maybe they win in the first round, but yeah. I feel like that's their ceiling. Whereas if you're Utah, yeah, they're not going to be a good team, but I feel like Danny Ainge, he did with them exactly what he did when he was in Boston and what he did to Brooklyn. He completely freezed them because all those draft picks, those could come at a time when the Timberwolves suddenly take major steps back and end up being a bad team, and then suddenly they're going to need those picks, but now they're going to Utah.
Yep, I agree with that. Okay, so once again, we're talking to Brennan Styles. He's at the B Styles on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I want to understand the UCLA-USC thing. Number one, it doesn't happen that quick. It doesn't happen without people knowing, and both of those things did. And so if it was any other commissioner, I'd say, you know what? Man, that commissioner is awesome, but I never thought that of Kevin Warren. Was this Kevin Warren or somebody else?
Oh, I think that this is all USC and UCLA because I think they recognize the fact that their conference was on shaky ground to begin with, and they were always looking for a way out, and the opportunity presented itself to both of them. I think more so to USC because of the football angle, but I think UCLA looked at it as, well, geez, if USC is going, we might as well go with them for the same reasons. And, you know, lo and behold, you bring in both of those schools and you bring in a Los Angeles market. And now if you're the Big Ten, you think about having, for all intents and purposes, a New York market, even though I don't know how many people actually are out there are watching Rutgers, but you have that. You have Los Angeles. You have Chicago. You have Washington, D.C., parts of Philadelphia, I suppose, of Penn State. So they're making the rounds, if you will, or nationwide. And I feel like what this ultimately could do is it's going to set up an opportunity for a school like Notre Dame where at some point it's like, hey, are you going to join or not? Because if you want to, here's your chance to restoke your rivalry with USC, but also get back into playing Michigan, Michigan State, and Purdue again like you used to back in the day.
Right, and that's the one upside for Notre Dame, you know, and it helps them basketball wise and USC and UCLA mm-hmm. to a certain extent. You know, I've heard that, you know, Oregon and Washington want to go too. I don't see what Oregon and Washington give the Big Ten. I mean, mm-hmm, I guess Nike, but that would be it. Washington doesn't give them anything. I think they got the two they wanted.
Nike might give you apparel, but they're not giving you eyeballs.
No. And it's just another, you know, the only thing it does is it puts two more teams there so they can play those guys. So not everybody has to go back and forth. I can't wait to see what divisions look like and all that and how they play this.
I don't even know if they're going to do divisions.
And just go straight up, just schedule how you schedule. The only thing that I don't like about this, B, is, and this isn't so much the Big Ten, because I think the Big Ten deserves the kudos they're getting. I'm sick and tired of every pundit that comes on these talk radio shows and all they talk about is the SEC. The SEC has four or five really good teams in one sport, mm-hmm. and the rest of them are dog crap, and that's the reason these four teams are so good, because they don't play anybody, and they don't play nine conference games like everybody else does.
Well, and I feel like the SEC at some point is going to have to do that, because it sounds like the Big Ten's committed to sticking to nine games, which, you know, you might as well, if you're going to add schools like that and you're going to be at 16, you might as well try to get as many conference games as you can.
No, I totally agree. Why? I mean, the other games are less and less and less and less important. And mm-hmm. when you get to these different conferences, I for one think it's good for the sport, because the more that you do this, the more the NCAA, I mean, nobody even had to ask the NCAA to do it. They just did it. I mean, that shows just how minuscule of power in 10 years that the NCAA has lost.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, you think about it, like, this isn't something that even 10 years ago I think would have even been discussed. And I think the whole geography thing would have still come into play. But I think you got to look back to what happened a year ago with Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC. And that really, this was more of a reaction to that than anything. And again, I go back to the fact that I think it was more the two schools out in California, out in LA, that were wanting this more so than the Big Ten. But then the Big Ten thought about it. It's like, well, you know, I guess that they're both really good research universities. They both, USC is going to bring the football, UCLA is going to bring the basketball. Sure, why not? We might as well take a chance on it.
Absolutely. They had nothing to lose. And the fact that I think, I mean, I've seen everything all over the board. I not that I have really, really close contacts, but I have a couple that I trust really well. And I think the Arizona State, Utah thing to the Big 12, I think that's probably just waiting for paper to be signed, you know, at a good time.
How about the irony in Colorado going back to the Big 12?
Right. And that, I think that's one that was named, but that's kind of lost its luster a little bit. And I think that's the Big 12. I think that's the Big 12 as a whole going, yeah, I don't think so. Let's make them hang for a little bit, because they didn't like that when they left. And
yeah,
look what it did to Nebraska. I mean, neither one of those schools have been anything since they left.
Boy, I'll tell you what, if the Big 12 is able to get Utah and you got BYU coming in next year and you can have the Holy War as a conference game every year.
See, now, the other one I thought, and I haven't had anybody agree with me, but I'm like, the other one I would grab, I'd grab Memphis. It's got a good football team. It has a good basketball team. And it puts somebody over there in general vicinity of Central Florida, so you know those two can play and not everybody has to go back and forth over there all the time. But I doubt if they do that. But I think Memphis is a good ad. It's a great place to go watch football.
It would be also in the sense of it would be a natural rival for Cincinnati as well.
Absolutely. And here's the great thing. The last time we were there for the bowl game, we went in Memphis Stadium. Memphis Grizzlies is awesome. And that's when they were horrible. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine Memphis now that they're good, how much fun that would be downtown Memphis during a game.
Oh, for sure.
So, all right. So you're going to catch a couple of games. Which games are you going to?
Going Friday and Sunday.
Nice. Those are the best two. That's mm-hmm. awesome. There isn't a better stadium to watch a baseball game in. I love Twin Stadium.
I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's a nice one.
Yeah,
it's a nice one.
It's just easy sit, good food, nice beer. Mm-hmm. All good, my friend. All good. You got 10 seconds here. Give me your thoughts on Keegan Murray's first few games.
He's looked the part, and I think if you're a Sacramento Kings fan, you have to be pleased at that.
Excited. I would be. I would be totally excited. So, as always, I'll get with you what schedule is next week so we can get you back on again. We're gonna have to start hammering out some NFL, you know, going through the grapevine a little bit. We're getting close, and that's exciting. Have a good weekend, buddy.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Talk to you later. Next week.
B Styles, nice to have him back in here. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans.
Hi, brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
A man who lives and breathes Iowa sports. Steen on Sports, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans.
Welcome back in. Last segment on this Wednesday. Hump day is in the rearview mirror. We're on to almost the weekend. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ. Website 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins have White Sox on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Huge, 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 huge. You get home field. You got to take care of these. You can knock them out of the race and worry about taking on the Guardians and seeing how that goes. Want to thank Zach Steenblock and B Styles for coming in. Brendan Styles for coming in today. I appreciate them. Good conversation as always. I want to thank sponsors iCubs, Woodman Controls, Northwest Bank, Palmer Group, DeMoss, and Heritage Building Maintenance. Couldn't do this without them as well. So many things going on. I haven't really be on the lookout tonight for scores from your 3A and 4A sub-state finals to go to. I always want to say to go to Principal Park, but it's not Principal Park. To go to Carroll for 3A and go to Iowa Hawkeye Baseball Stadium. Are you kidding me? There you go. For 4A. So that'll be really exciting. Some of the things going on today, the Toronto Blue Jays fired Montoya, their coach today. They're not playing up to their potential. They were 46-42 in the playoff hunt as it stands right now. Kind of weird. I don't know. I saw this headline today on ESPN. Kind of typical of ESPN. Top three picks live up to their billing. Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith are well into the first NBA Summer League and have already shown why they were the top three picks in this year's draft. The thing they don't do, there's pick number 4, 5, 6, 7. Keegan Murray, breakout star of this. It just shows they have an agenda. I don't know what their agenda is. Maybe they don't like Sacramento. I don't know. Maybe because he went to Iowa, it's not as important as Auburn and Gonzaga and Duke. I don't know. The fact that you would mention those three and not mention him with the summer league that he's had, and Paolo played a game. Jabari Smith and Chet Holmgren played more. I also don't want to hear this whole narrative out there about Chet Holmgren. Oh my God, how's he going to guard Joel Embiid? Well, not very many people in the league know how to guard Joel Embiid. My thing is, how Joel Embiid going to guard him? That's what people have to do. You can't put a small forward on him. He'll post him up, or he'll just hit jump shots over him. Give the kid a break. He's had a great, he's had a really good summer league. I can't wait to see what it's like. It's a building block. That's what they are. Nobody knows. I said they had all these picks. You're going to have 20 of them that are going to be serviceable NBA players. You're going to have 8 of them that are going to be great. You're going to have 2 or 3 that are going to be superstars. You may have one superstar. Could be any of them. But why just the top three picks? Why not the top five? Why not? Not including Keegan Murray in what they talked about in the summer league that Keegan Murray had is a disservice to the NBA, which ESPN is a huge part of. So I don't understand what's going on. The stuff, this Kansas City Royals thing. So I just had a couple of people send me some information too, that there were a couple Kansas City Royal guys that said, hey, you know what? We'd get a vaccine because we want to be traded to the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, the fact that they're using their unvaccinated status to try to get somewhere that they would get the vaccine, I don't know where we're at. You're a professional player getting paid a lot of money, and you decided not to do something that's going to cost the team. I don't know what you do there. I get the freedom of choice. Listen, if you're an NBA player and you're making millions of dollars and you don't like to fly on an airplane, they used to make accommodations for that, but you can't make accommodations for it anymore because you play too many games in too many places. You have to get over it. You're getting paid millions of dollars. It's totally different than somebody that I can't go into the grocery store. I'm a retiree and I can't go in the grocery store because I'm not vaccinated. I mean, you can sit and have those fights. You shouldn't be having fights with paid professional athletes that are getting paid millions of dollars to play a sport. That means it's the same thing that I have with Kyrie Irving. There were things about Kyrie Irving that people didn't like about him to begin with. And none of them have anything to do with being a basketball player. Everything has to do with being what frame of mind and state of mind that he's in. He's in his own. He is that guy. So it's always, huh. But the simple fact that you're willing to pay him $20 million a year and he won't get vaccinated so he can play in different places that cost you chances not to be in a play-in spot and maybe get home court, who wants that? Me, pass, every day. It's not a choice sometimes if your livelihood depends on it. And if he doesn't want to get a vaccination, I want to be able to do the same. He doesn't feel that he needs to have a vaccination. I don't feel like I have to pay him. Pretty easy. It shouldn't have to come to that, but he wasn't willing to negotiate as well. So I'm sick and tired of stuff like that. It just irritates me to no end. Gosh, there's been so much stuff going on today. Let's see here. Daniel Snyder's attorney late this afternoon said that Snyder will not testify under the subpoena. Rory right now is the favorite at the British Open. Here's the thing. If he can stay out of trouble, that's always kind of been Rory's downfall. He'll be blazing through, and then he'll miss an eagle putt and get mad, or he'll miss a couple of birdie putts, and then he hits a wayward shot, and then he has a bogey putt and misses that and gets a double bogey, and he unravels. That's the one thing that you see a lot of golfers, and it happens to a lot of golfers. Two golfers it never happened to. And those two golfers are Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods might be angry if he made a double bogey, but his thought process was already four holes down the way where he thought, okay, so on that hole where I might have laid up, now this time I'm gonna hit where I usually do, and I'm gonna get a birdie there, so it doesn't matter. Jack felt the same way. They were, and Rory's getting there, and I think that hanging with Tiger, and I think that's why these young guys, they're trying to understand that when you have that thing, one player is playing checkers and the other is playing three-dimensional chess. I mean, Tiger runs these rounds in his head all the time. And do you have times where things don't go well? Absolutely. But he played at such a high level for three or four years where he put together a run that nobody will ever, ever, ever do again. And it was because his mind was so much further ahead of people on shots that you'd be watching if you watch some old Tiger stuff. And the commentators go, oh, he has no shot from here. Oh, my gosh, I never thought about that shot. Oh, look at that. Oh, and that's what happened. He was thinking so far ahead. And these were great people. This was Nick Faldo and some of these guys talking on TV, not even understanding what was going through his mind. Could you imagine if you're a Matt Fitzpatrick or you're a John Rahm or you're Rory, why, or Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, why you're not always hanging with him? Not to, you know, I get being buddies and stuff, but just listening to him. Well, you know, okay, I'm here, so I could hit this shot, but, you know, that brings in this percentage of risk, or I could hit this shot and it brings in this percentage of risk. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to hit this one. And they're going, well, what's that percentage of risk? And he goes, that's not a percentage of risk. That's a percentage of reward. So I'm going to hit that one. And it just blows their mind because they don't understand all these things going on. That's the fun part of watching him. Even when he's older and maybe hitting simpler shots he struggles with, when he's faced with a difficult shot that a lot of people don't want to have, he already has a way out. And it's very exciting to see right now from the way that some of this stuff is shaking out. It is free agent day in the NHL, and there's some teams trying to do some changing here. So that's going to be exciting to see what happens through that. I have to talk. So Brett Yormark is the new Big 12 commissioner. He comes from Roc Nation, working with Jay-Z. He's known for being an outside-the-box guy. When you're going through all this stuff that's happening right now, guess what I want? I want an out-of-the-box guy running my organization. We'll see what happens. I hope it turns out well. It's crazy times right now. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott tomorrow. See you then.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.